In a world where most of us struggle to function without Wi-Fi, there exists a profound disconnect from the skills that sustained humanity for millennia. Remember when a power outage meant adventure rather than panic? Our great-grandparents wouldn't recognize this dependency. They lived in a time when self-sufficiency wasn't a weekend hobby, but a way of life, where every household knew how to preserve food, create shelter, and heal the sick using nature's pharmacy. What happens when our modern systems falter? This is where Claude Davis's The Lost Ways becomes not just fascinating reading, but potentially life-saving knowledge. Growing up with grandparents born in the late 19th century taught me something profound. Resourcefulness isn't just admired, it's essential. My grandmother transformed yesterday's scraps into the most delicious soup I've ever tasted, explaining how every part of an ingredient had purpose. My grandfather maintained a vegetable garden that supplemented our table year-round, while my grandmother mended clothes until they were practically new again. We've become startlingly disconnected from these fundamental skills. Many can barely cook a decent meal without pre-chopped ingredients, let alone preserve food for winter. The internet, rather than truly connecting us, has severed our relationship with nature, soil, and practical knowledge. With 7 billion people on Earth and growing, climate change accelerating, and economic instability looming, these forgotten skills may soon become necessary again. Our grandparents understood something we've forgotten. True security comes not from money in the bank, but from practical knowledge and the ability to provide for basic needs regardless of external circumstances. Imagine sleeping through a freezing wilderness night without tending your campfire. Pioneers created the ingenious self-feeding fire by arranging logs on supports at 30 degrees, allowing burning logs to cause fresh ones to roll down automatically throughout the night. This life-saving technique requires 4 small tree trunks, support branches, and 8 large hardwood logs in a V-shaped formation. The wood choice is crucial. Hardwoods like oak or maple burn longer and hotter than softwoods. When properly constructed with good airflow and strategic kindling, this setup burns for 8 hours, enabling uninterrupted wilderness sleep. Many common weeds contain more nutrients than refrigerated foods. Our ancestors recognized wild plants as a natural supermarket requiring no cultivation. Cattails, the supermarket of the swamp, provide water, food, shelter, and fuel. Their young shoots taste like cucumber. Summer pollen serves as flour, and their starchy roots contain 10 times the starch of equal-weight potatoes. Other valuable wild plants include vitamin-rich dandelions, offering greens, flowers for cooking, and coffee substitute roots, omega-3-rich purslane, pain-relieving wild lettuce, and plantain with its medicinal properties. Identifying these plants expands your food options during scarcity periods. When our ancestors harvested food, preservation was paramount. Smokehouses preserved meat for up to a year using hardwood smoke and salt curing. Brick structures retained heat better but cost more, while hardwood versions were accessible yet maintenance-intensive. Unlike barbecuing, smoking happens at lower temperatures, 52 to 140 F, for extended periods, sometimes 2 weeks. This preserves meat while enhancing flavor. First comes pellicle formation, drying the meat's surface for better smoke absorption. Salt curing before smoking was essential, typically using 7 pounds of salt per 100 pounds of meat. Root cellars provided another preservation method. These underground spaces create naturally cool, humid environments extending harvest life. Dating back 40,000 years, the ideal cellar maintains high humidity, 90 to 95%, with temperatures between 32 and 40 F. A well-maintained root cellar preserves harvests for 4 to 6 months without energy input, connecting us directly to sustainable ancestral practices that worked perfectly for centuries without electricity or refrigeration. In uncertain times, food preparation becomes critical. While generators help temporarily, eventually most preppers will need to cook over open flames. Quality cast iron cookware is essential. It withstands direct fire, improves with use, and lasts generations with proper care. The Dutch oven stands out as the most versatile piece. It functions as a baking vessel, cooking pot, and when inverted, the lid serves as a frying pan. Mastering temperature control with wood coals takes practice. Use half the coals below and half on top for roasting. Quarter below and three quarters on the lid for baking. Three quarters below and quarter on top for simmering. Cooking times vary by meat. Lamb and chicken require 30 minutes per pound, beef and venison 20 minutes, and pork 45 minutes. The string method, where a slowly unwinding string naturally rotates smaller game and poultry, ensures even cooking. These traditional techniques connect us to our ancestors while providing practical solutions when modern conveniences fail. With the right tools and practice, fire-cooked meals can rival anything from a modern kitchen. Hollywood has distorted our understanding of frontier life, portraying Western towns as lawless places where fearful citizens awaited rescue by mysterious strangers. In reality, frontier communities developed effective security systems based on cooperation and shared responsibility. Unlike today's professional police forces, frontier sheriffs were rarely full-time law enforcers. They typically maintained their own farms or businesses while serving their communities. This dual role created strong connections between law enforcement and civilians, as the sheriff was not just an authority figure, but a neighbor who understood the community's needs intimately. When more manpower was needed, sheriffs could deputize citizens or raise a posse through posse comitatus, or power of the community. This tradition allowed community members to assist with specific law enforcement tasks, from pursuing criminals to maintaining order during emergencies. In a collapse scenario, this sheriff model of policing by consent becomes essential, building community support rather than imposing authority through force. The most valuable asset was the community's information network. From general stores to church gatherings, people talked to neighbors, creating a web of awareness that quickly alerted everyone to potential threats. What would happen if you couldn't access a grocery store for a month, 6 months, a year? Our ancestors faced this reality regularly and developed sophisticated systems to ensure their survival. Their knowledge wasn't just about surviving, it was about thriving through ingenuity, careful observation, and community cooperation. The skills preserved in the Lost Ways aren't just historical curiosities, they represent a profound connection to self-reliance that modern convenience has nearly erased. By learning these techniques, we don't just prepare for potential disasters. We reclaim a heritage of competence and independence that defined human existence for millennia. Perhaps the most valuable lesson from our ancestors isn't any specific technique, but their mindset, the confidence that comes from knowing you can provide for your needs using knowledge, observation, and the resources around you. In a world of increasing uncertainty, couldn't we all benefit from that kind of security? The true path to resilience isn't found in panic buying or stockpiling. It's in the quiet confidence that comes from practical knowledge passed down through generations.